we're taping. Today is June 7th, and our topic is content of the Bible. It's the first of a two-part series. And unlike what I usually teach here, this material is largely from Gentiles. Jews did not paint the Bible until very recently. These pictures are not of antiquity. These are the brothers Gustav and Isaac Doré, not Jews, although the names may sound a little Jewish. But next week I'll bring in the four books from which I took this, and some of these might be famous pictures, but when Jews started painting biblical portraits, there were some things that they you'd think they would agree to do, but imagine that someone who's painting biblical pictures is probably not going to approach it from a Masoretic standpoint. They would like to get the painting to fit the story as much as they can, right? But to what extent are they going to apply midrashim or halachos to the picture? The basic halacha would be that you should not portray God in the picture. Right? What picture might have God in it? Well, the snare, it says an angel of God, and God is talking. So you can have the burning bush, that's okay. You can have that in a. How about in Yaakov's dream? It says God was at the top of the ladder. So you see, you can always tell the difference between the Jewish painter and the non-Jewish painter by what's at the top of the ladder. Marc Chagall is the noted exception of this. Marc Chagall very clearly painted pictures with God, and even mixed in Christian imagery as well. Now, Christian art, of course, can have what they feel is God in the picture. God took on a physical form. And we just walked past St. John the Divine. You see all these big, huge statues, 30-foot statues up there. And you say, how is this an observance of the Ten Commandments? I'm not going to get into that. But so again, I'm not sure whether those who are going to be steeped in the world of art are going to be careful with the halachic parameters for the material. All right, so we'll see what this is. But in our studies, it doesn't matter. These are not Jews we're looking at. Okay, so let's start. First, let's all try to identify the picture. I mean, they have a Hebrew text, and one of them has an English text. Mm-hmm. Okay, first of all, what is very wrong with this picture, and at least one account?
The first one?
Yeah, the one on the right, on the blue one.
It's black and white.
All the pictures are black, white, and gray.
That's what it is.
On the right?
The one on the right. It's Abraham is sitting in front of his tent. And he sees three men.
Can't really see them.
They aren't supposed to have wings. They're just people.
Correct. Yeah. The Bible makes it a clear point that Abraham, to the time he sent them away, did not know that he was talking to angels.
Right.
Rashi is quite certain of that. In other words, even if we find out later that they are angels, right?
Mm-hmm.
So right, Rashbam says the reason why Sarah left when they said next year Sarah's going to have a child, right?
She thought they were just people.
You know, they were just people who... You can imagine Avram had lots of guests, right? And what do you think each guest said when they got up to leave?
May you have a son and a child.
Yeah, we all know that you're the great Abraham and you don't have a son. And they would say, but by next year... You know, people come to my office all the time like that and give me guarantees. I said, please, do me a favor. Unless you're a prophet, tell me that within 40 days my daughter's going to have a shidduch. What you should say is, 40 days, Mitzvah Hashem, she ought to have, just change the word around just slightly. Yas Hashem Imochem Chesed. Right? The text says Yaseh, but there's a Kriya Ksiv.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what Naomi tells her daughters. And he said, God will do you chesed is Yaseh. Yas means God ought to do you chesed. May God do you chesed. Unless you're a Navi, there could be prophecies in the Bible. If you give tzedakah, good things will happen to you. But we shouldn't be saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You ever see at a funeral in Borough Park, there always the guys that kept waving, that stalker box, stalker, that's me more, stalker. So what are you talking about? The person dead, died. I gave stalker, why did he die? You should be doing that in the hospital, not in the cemetery, in the funeral home.
Where did the whole concept of wings come from for angels? Well, I mean, where did it, you know?
Oh, no, it's there.
I'll give it to you.
Yechezkel? It's Yeshayahu chapter 6. And Yeshayahu's vision, that's the Torah of Parshas Yisro. Mm-hmm. He says that each angel has six wings.
Yes.
He says two wings up here, up here, two wings in the middle, two wings in the bottom. So that's already.
And now you applied that throughout
and
everywhere.
Yecheskel,
assuming Cherubim are angels or angelic,
it describes their Knafayim in the Cherubim on top of Yaron. Also, in Yecheskel, it says that they have wings, and they're standing with one, Aglayim Regel Yisharah. They're like one stump coming down the bottom. Which is why we daven with the feet together. Okay, anyway, so that's the first thing wrong with this. forget about the Rambam, who says that any time there's an angel in the story, a human being is asleep. Right?
Mm-hmm. So, after the Rambam says there's no such thing as angels, he then goes down to enumerate all the different kinds.
He doesn't say there's no such thing as angels. There's such thing as a human being which sense perception,
perceiving
an angel. It's not sense data. The person is. You can have a dream of God. You know, it's in your
subconscious.
It's in your mind. That could be. You can have that, right? A Jew is not likely to have that because we don't have it in our conscious. That we should have it in our subconscious. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. So also in the Torah it says he was sitting Pesach HaOhel.
Yeah, but the tent is real.
The tent is there in the back. Okay, it could be that. I'll allow him to say that's Pesach HaOhel. But I don't. It's a bad form to say that. Now it could be that you see the wings in the background look like they're not actually there. They're sort of
floating in the sky.
It's letting the reader know that they're angels, but Abraham
doesn't see the wings.
May just see them as men. Okay. Okay. So Rashbam solves all. There's a lot of parshanut problems in that first pasuk because it says he was sitting in front of his tent. God comes to him. But you wrote your love, but it doesn't say what God did. Instead, Avram just interrupts God for the moment and runs out to these three men. Without saying a word to God, he seems to address the three men.
Well, this is black and white. That's it. I can't tell, but it kind of looks like he's in a desert. Avram was in the desert.
Elon de Mamre is the desert. The desert around there.
He was a shepherd. What was the sheep?
I don't know. He was a baby.
He killed his sheep if he lived in.
On this way? No.
No, I mean.
Are you Yehuda? You have thousands of sheep.
Black and white, but it could just be hilly, grazing land.
Anyway, okay, but. And also it says, Kichom Hayom. It looks from the picture.
It looks like it's nighttime.
It's later in the day. No, but it's a. Anyway, but the angels is the main thing. Rashbam says that the God appeared to Avraham in the form of these three angels. So we solve all the other problems about who was Avraham talking to. It doesn't make sense that he would tell God. To wash his feet, right? Was he telling to wait, right? And he speaks in plural to the three men, but then he speaks in singular to them. You know, he moves from singular to plural. So he's talking to God. I understand why he's talking singular. So Rashbam says he resolves all the problems by saying these three men appear to him as God. God appeared to Avram as an angel. Now, I've mentioned this so many times. Angel and God are interchangeable in the Torah. There's so many examples of this. V'yomer Malach Hashem al Avraham, Al tishlach yotcho el ha'nar, v'al taslam v'yomar ki adat, ato yadati ki yireh elokim atal, v'luchasachtos binchas yachitu mimeni. The angel said to Avraham, don't touch your son, now I see that you fear me. He didn't say, now I see you fear God. The pasuk started off, an angel said to Avraham, it's all over. We have so many examples of this. In Rabbi Goldberg was speaking yesterday, it says Vayisa Hashem Vashem Holech Lifnehem, and a few pesukim later it says Vayisa Malach Hashem. Mm-hmm. How did Hashem appear before them? In the guise of a malach, because a human being cannot perceive God's appearance. You pass a few napkins down.
Is there any difference between a painting and a sculpture?
We're doing paintings here, so... Okay. And the Sistine Chapel, if you will, the Christians had this preoccupation with certain biblical characters that Jews probably wouldn't spend time painting. They loved Bilam, they loved Haman. Haman is all over the Sistine Chapel.
Really?
Bilam is big. Okay, maybe if you want to ask later about that, about what it's so. Okay, let's take a look at Akedas Yitzchok. The first thing that this picture, which I will go along with, it's the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra, but certainly not Rashi, because what does Rashi say about the age of Yitzchok at the time of this?
37.
The Eretz Yisrael Targumim all say he was 37 years old. Right? Because they conflate the stories, the birth of Rivka, the death of Sarah, and what appears like before both of them, the Akedah. So Sarah was 127 when she died. 90 plus 37 is 127. Right? Yeah, of course. Yeah. And the Gemara. And the Targumim. But the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra claim that he's about 10, 11, 12.
Whoa.
We're on tape. Okay. So, two things. One is that it says in the Torah, Vayakod Espino. This child is not Okadid.
Yeah, he's not tied up. He's not bound.
Okadid means that you're... The two machlokes is what Akkad means, but the Gemara Pesachim that talks about how to tie up the Karban Pesach.
He's tied up in the vomit.
Where's the actual Mizbeah?
What's interesting is that in the time of Avraham, this is Chazal learning by now, but that the Mizbeah that they used then was one big stone. They offered on one big stone. This is a bunch of little stones. All right, I'm not going to go into that.
My envision the story. I envision him not standing, but lying flat and being all tied up.
Okay,
Where's the fire?
Seems to be coming out of some kind of pause over there. I think the most fundamental, problem
stuck
here.
By his horns in the dance.
Specifically,
he sees a ram stuck by its horns in the bush. Yeah. And here the angel
he's
giving
like
him
carrying
the
him. Yeah. Carrying the ram.
In other words, it's like the angel bringing him the ram in the story.
Very Christological.
The Gemara says that the ram was always there.
Also, the
he
knife.
He didn't see it. He was so.
The knife is far away from him.
Oh, I mean, that's the fundamental issue I want to bring. In the pasuk, it says, "Vayishlach Avraham es yodo." Sent forth his hand to grab the knife. I don't even know if the knife was even in his hand at all when the angel called him back. It doesn't say that he actually picked up the knife. That would have been too traumatic apparently for Yitzchak. But as soon as Avraham maybe just touched the knife, then the angel said, "Okay, you reached that potential. You showed that you're ready to." I'll tell you this.
It looks like the angel shielding Yitzchak instead of saying, "Don't do anything."
Okay, I'll pass Lomi Uma. That could be me. But Shimshon Frol Hirsch says that when Avraham went up to the mountain and told his lads, "We're going up to the mountain and we will return," Rashi says he just said that so that they wouldn't get all crazy. "We go, leave me. Only you will return." He goes, if Avraham had said, "Oh, I'm going to go up to this mountain, I'm going to burn him, and I'm going to shecht him, and I'm going to come down with his ashes for an urn for his mother." The guys there probably wouldn't have sat for that, right? So instead he says, we will return. We'll come down to see you. Shimshon Frol Hirsch says that he was fully expecting that would be the case.
Hmm.
Why? Because right before the Akedah, the story right before is where Avram is told to banish Ishmael from the house. And Avram says to God, what's going to happen with Yishmael's future? He goes, because you're asking, I'll make him a great nation because he's your son. But Yitzchok Yikarei L'Chazara, your future that I kept promising you until now is through Yitzchok. And this is the last time God ever talks to him. Right? Never talks to him again. The whole Pashas Chayisar, there's no conversation with God in Avram. Right? So the last thing that God tells Avram, he tells him through an angel, "Don't kill your son." That's it. At least that is what appears in the Torah. Anyway, the issue is that Shimshon Rufal Hirsch says that Abraham had such faith in the promise that God had made before, and ostensibly Yitzchak has no children yet, that whatever I do to him to fulfill the instructions God gave me in the beginning of chapter 22, which is go up to this mountain, Haleu Le'olah, and make him an upbringing, right? That I'll do that to him, whatever that means. Tie him up, slaughter him, burn him. And he'll still be my future because God told me that. Right? The point is that you're right. God is mysterious. He walks in mysterious ways. He's filled with contradictions based on my limited understanding. And Avram still forges ahead. And all he had to do is just touch the Vishlach. It says, Vishlach Yado Lakacha says Hamachalas. He doesn't say he took it and he raised his hand. So, but all pictures do have him. Some closer, some. It seems from the picture that he was going to stab him in the chest or something. You know, usually the picture, the paintings have him lying down and he's going to, cut him in his neck like he's supposed to do for Kutchum. All right, anyway, let's go to three. These are the same picture from two different books. Okay. Here is Yosef. Okay. It says, by Yiru, they looked from far. I prefer the one on the left, because in 3a, when they said this, the caravans were far away. That's why they made the mistake of thinking they were the Ishmaelim, because the text says what they really were Midianim. Okay, that is Rashbam's explanation for why, when you see them from far, they say, here comes Yishmaelim, let's sell them to Yishmaelim. And then when they come close, they're Midyanim.
But other people say that? They sold them more than once. They sold them to one group, and then that group sold them to
Rashi,
another group.
That's Rashi. Doesn't give this answer.
Well,
Ibn Ezra gives a very different answer. He says Yishmaelim and Midyanim are interchangeable in Tanakh, and he brings a proof. There's a story in Sefer Shoftim in Perek Vav, we were fighting a battle against Midian. The name Midian appears 15 times, and all of a sudden, in the middle, we're fighting Yishmaelim. Mm. What was their relationship? Two people named Yishmael and Midian, what were they to each other? Who was Midian? The name of a person, who was he?
Yethro was Midian.
I know, but who's there's a person named Midian. They're half brothers from Avraham.
It's not half.
Oh, thank you. They're half brothers. They share a father, Avraham. Avraham had children with Keturah after
Sarah.
Yeah, I understand. Ishmael was with his mother. His mother was Hagar.
Right. Some people
Midian's
say
his mother was Keturah, and according to some Maimonides, they were actually full brothers. They had to share the same father and mother because Keturah is Hagar. You don't have to. That's a drash, but still. So if they're interchangeable, then I understand. Okay, but when they said the words that are under the picture 3a, those camels were far away. Mm-hmm. Right? It says far away. Okay. Okay. So fine.
The Yosef character is. It's fully clothed. Either his garb should be different than everyone else's, or he should be naked, or he should be not wearing a coat, because they took it off and bloodied it up.
How do you know that was the only one he was wearing? You see, it's interesting, and they mention it. I wasn't going to say this, but Rashi points to the pasuk where they stripped him, and it says, "Vayafshitu et Yosef et kutonto et ktonet hapasim asher alav."
Oh, he wore it on top of his
other clothes. A bit verbose, no? It should say, "Vayafshitu et Yosef et kutonto asher alav." What do you mean? They stripped him of his tunic, the striped or long sleeve tunic that he was wearing, huh? So Rashbam says, "Okay, that's the way the Torah talks. The Torah is flowery. It's Yafshitu et kutonto. Which one? Ktonat hapasim asher alav. Right? I can give you 100 examples. Right? V'lo asu kasher diber alein melech Mitzrayim. What did the women do? Right. They let the boys live. But I should already know that when it said they didn't listen to Paro, that they let the boys live, because their instruction was to kill them. So what are you telling me what I already know? You know what I'm saying? What are you telling? What does the Torah have to explain things to me that I know already? So it's machlokas. Rashi says each new word teaches something else. Rashbam generally says, no, no, you... That's just the way the Torah talks. But now back to what you said, is that by if she do it kutanto, what does Rashi say on that pasuk?
He's wearing something underneath.
But no, but they stripped that too. But if you might have, you're right, okay, I agree. This may be, you know, by the time they saw the Yishmael, and they already did that to him. So yeah, okay, you're right. I don't know if he should be totally stupid. Maybe he had some kind
of
undershirt or something.
Right.
But it looks like... Yeah.
He was fully fine. That's the way he was supposed to be.
Yeah. Because it makes the point that he was wearing Ketomet Pasim.
Which
wasn't too smart of him, you know, knowing that the brothers were...
Not his best friends anymore.
Right, okay, let's look at the other one. This is actually a different byline, so I don't mind that it's a different picture. It says, Yosef Yishmael and Besrim Kasef. There's something fundamentally wrong with this. There's something fundamentally wrong with this because
the pit looks like it's cemented.
I accept it could be a bore, could be a well, but the fundamental problem is that this never says in the text that the brother sold Yosef. You know that? And when Yosef tells them at the end of the story, Ani Yosef, Hashemachartim Osim Mitzrayma, I'm Yosef, the one that you sold to Egypt, right? He means, I'm Yosef, the one that you caused to be sold to Egypt. Look in the text, it never says that they sold him. It says they put him in a pit. Reuven probably was meant to come back later when they were all away. It wasn't strong enough to stand up to them.
Say he did come back later and found it empty?
That's exactly what happens written in the text. Right? He came back and he said he wasn't there. The pasuk that says they pulled him out of the boar and sold him, right, to the Midianim. That's an earlier pasuk. There's nothing in that pasuk that says that it's the brothers who did that. Adrab, the previous subject from the verse before are the Midianim. It's the Midianim.
Brothers gave him to the Midianim.
What happened? He was in the pit. He was probably screaming, help me, help me! And the Midianim walked by when the brothers left. They finished eating, they went left. Before Reuven had a chance to go and see where he was, the Midianim found him and said, let's get some money for him.
Then why is Yehuda credited with getting him out of the pit? By saying La Betza.
No. The brothers wanted to kill him right away.
Right. And Reuven got them to not kill him?
Reuven said, let's throw him in the pit.
Right.
Let our hands not kill them. Keep killed by the scorpions or the elements, whatever. Then the brothers went down to eat. And then Yehuda says, wait a second, here comes the Ishmaelim, let's sell them. And before they had a chance to
sell them,
to take them out and sell them, he was already taken by the Midianim. This is Rashbam again. This is Malach. Right. They should have told this to Hadrian when he went with the Asara Hugi Malchus. You know. Remember he said you have to have 10... Alright, but you see that here it seems that someone has his hand out, right? Someone has his hand in the pocket. It says 20 shekel, right? That's a fair price at that time. Right? 400 shekel for a place to bury sorrow was exorbitant. But another interesting thing is that have you ever heard that there's a Maimar Chazal that they sold him for a pair of shoes?
Yes.
They used those 20 shekels to buy
shoes.
Yeah,
that's what's connected to the Haftorah.
It's connected to the Haftorah. It's connected to the Haftorah. Because it says, Al Mikhrab Ba Kesef Tzadik Ve'evyom Ba'avur Na'alayim. It's not the Pshat on that Pasuk.
Where's that Haftorah from?
It's Amos. Beginning of Amos. Okay, let's go on. More.
You didn't have this.
Oh, they're not numbered on
this? No. Okay. following.
Okay. That's borrowed. Oh, look at it. It doesn't even...
It's
the copies were made from the wrong thing. Okay. The next week. All right. The next one is a picture of Bas Paro. Do you see it? Do you see them both?
Yes.
There's something fundamentally wrong with both of them.
She was alone.
She was alone.
Right.
Now, if there was anybody else with her, it says, Vatishlach es amoso, right? Which can mean either she sent forth her hand to yeah. grab the baby,
right.
or she sent her amo, which is a maiden.
Mm-hmm.
One maiden.
But here's a whole group.
Because, it would be impossible for her to keep all those women on the secret
mm-hmm.
of what Moshe
she's,
is.
She's,
one woman...
Careful now.
No, you're on tape.
They're playing.
No, women in general can keep good secrets, but when you have a lot
just
of them...
Just a lot of people. Just when you have more than one person, it's hard to keep secret. Someone's
okay.
going to slip up.
All right, so, okay, that is, that's a really simple thing, right? The Gemara discusses whether Ammasa means her hand or her maiden, right? It's a difference in the Masorah because the two words are not spelled exactly the same way. Right? One has a Dagesh in the Mem and one doesn't. One has a Chatek Patach and one doesn't. So, all right, but be this May, the...
Well, which one is this?
So neither, you see, the one where, can you identify Bas Paro in all of them? It seems that in the one on the left, she has her hand on it.
Right.
The one on the right, it seems that a maiden is rushing to get it. You see?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yet she puts her arm out.
Yeah, she's pointing it. Oh, me, how your rims there.
I don't understand what you just said. I see two women on the left.
The pasuk says that she sent forth ammasa
yeah.
to grab the baby. That word can mean two different things.
Right, I know, I got that.
Hand.
I got that.
So on the one on the left, her hand is on the basket.
Yeah.
Ammasa means her hand. The one on the right,
this
it seems
one,
that.
You see her hand?
One on the right, it seems
person.
That there's a. I mean, see, Bas Paro is the one
is
standing.
But one on the left also has someone.
The one that has a special head here.
Yeah.
Oh, the
but her hand is on the basket.
Yeah, the head here, so she's the princess.
Right.
But almost all the Mepharshim agree that she was alone with that other mama. Well, remember in the movie, what was her name?
Memnit.
Yeah, that's kind of good.
Also, even in the account where it says that she did have someone with her, I'm pretty sure she didn't have any guys around.
You see men here?
What do you see men?
What do you think's going on her?
No bodyguard.
No, that's a woman.
That's a woman.
It's like a guy to me.
It was Jenner, but not. He's got eyelashes. Come on, that's a woman.
I'm Miriam, and the left.
Let's try to find Miriam, everybody.
By the palm tree.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no doubt. Can you find Miriam on the right? She looks a little too old in the picture there.
Well, how?
She's 5 years older than Moshe and Zohar.
Uh huh. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, actually, that's based on Chazal. So, okay, I'll get a pass. Do you see any Miriams on the right side?
No.
No.
See Waldo right there.
That looks like it's supposed to be Miriam, but she looks a little too old.
Do you see a Miriam figure on the right?
No.
Yeah, Mark. Look, you see, there's a woman peeking in from behind there.
But that could just be because of the direction we're looking.
Yeah, okay, but... Miriam is behind.
Off.
Yeah, but anyone making a picture of finding Moshe in
should
the water...
Should have Miriam watching?
Yes!
Have to.
You have to have Miriam in the picture. Come on!
Yeah,
okay.
Think.
Because
you agree?
She got her mother to nurse the baby.
Don't you agree?
Uh-huh.
You have to put Miriam. You don't have to put Waldo in the picture, but you certainly have to put Miriam in the picture.
It's a major part of the story.
Yes.
Waldo.
Okay, let's turn.
Paro's daughter doesn't have bodyguards?
No, she probably never goes anywhere alone. But in the movie, it's very clever. She sees what it is, and she chases everyone away. She's not going to go there alone because she probably never goes anywhere, actually, absolutely alone. She takes her most trusted person, And she said, you know, you'll die the day you reveal the secret, which actually happened according to the movie. Okay. I mean, look, what the Medrash actually says, and the movie picked up on it, how could she possibly get a baby into Paro's court? Isn't it obvious that the baby is
a Hebrew?
Is a Hebrew. Who's hiding babies in baskets now? Right? So especially when, you know, according to the Medrash, that they looked in their astrology, and they found out that the Savior was born at that time, right? Okay, so anyway,
because he claims it's the Nile God who sent it.
Right. Who could deny that?
Right.
Look what the Nile God gave me.
Oh, right.
I've been praying for this so long. You think an Egyptian said, "Don't be stupid."
Is she married?
Don't be stupid. There's no such thing.
They believe in it too.
Interesting as
well. Nile God's giving us babies. She said, look what the Nile God gave me. So everyone would say, oh, I'm pressing the Nile God, we have a new baby. What happened to be circumcised?
Well, that's...
By the way...
He was born perfect, so...
Hold on. Egyptians circumcised.
Good.
Yeah, but we have so many pictures of... Go online and see. I have a picture that I have from classes. Pictures of mass circumcisions in Egypt. Some young, some adults even. And to tell you something, these are before Avraham. These pictures. Okay.
What did they do as a ritual?
Looks like it. We just see it on the walls. These long walls with, you know. Okay, weiter. I noticed that I wrote 5 and 6 because these are actually not the same picture. Not than yours yet. Sorry. I know. Thank you. Please call me. Okay. All right. But I did not consider the ones on this picture with Moshe to be the same because, first of all,
they're
two different psukim. They're two different times. They're two different situations. One is where Moshe is coming down from the mountain with the luchos in his hand, right?
That's much later.
Right now, this is indicated in the picture, but I hope you can see it. There's something fundamentally wrong with the luchos in his hand.
Yeah, they're made out of sapphire. You can see right through them, and there are two of them.
Okay, there were two luchos, meaning two different luchos. The one on the left gets that right, even though they have Roman numerals on it. I don't know where they get that. Yeah. But the one on the right has a fundamental problem with it, that the one on the left avoids by just putting on Roman numerals.
It looks like
there's the same amount of letters on both sides.
But one side clearly has more.
Right, the right side has the five or six times as many letters as the left side. Left side just two. You know, if you wanted to have them evenly distributed, you'd have let's say the first two the first two on the right and then the next eight on the left. Right? Or maybe you do three and in the middle of the third, you know. But, which is possible. It's just that we have a tradition that there were five and five.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Maybe it was the same way that most
children
do it.
That's what I was thinking. It's artistic. They didn't write the whole thing in the picture.
They're not just doing two words. It's just the icy scratches all around it. You can't tell whether it's Ksavivri or Ksav Ashuri. In the movie, of course, you know they pass Ksav Ashuri, Ksav Ivri. You can see they're using the old ancient Hebrew hieroglyphics. Not the reader.
Where did the rounded luchos, where'd that idea?
Not sure.
Yeah, the shape.
Probably to have it square could be, you know, you could poke him. Should be rounded. It's Rochei Adar Chinoam.
Beams coming out of his head. That's why they do.
Okay, so and you see the Quran or Panav. You see that? Okay. Now there's something really fundamentally wrong on the left side. For goodness sakes. In the Medrash, first of all, that doesn't look like a calf. It looks like an ox. Okay, but in Tehillim it says a shor ochel esav. Top is shor ochel esav. Plus, it's the women's scene. It seems to be women more dancing around there, right? The Medrash is quite, says that women didn't worship this thing. Who's the guy in front of Moshe?
Yoshua.
Shuv saw him on the way down. Hello, when Moshe saw Yehoshua, he had not yet seen the Egel at that point. Okay, so maybe it is Yehoshua when they start walking down together. But it seems that he threw the Luchos down just when he saw it.